Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the shifting consciousness, how we're becoming a more aware society, how we're evolving into, I would say, more of a spiritual culture. And that is about transcending the old psychological paradigm and replacing it with a more evolved approach. And that's why I'm doing a series of interviews with members of the Association for Spirituality and Psychotherapy. And tonight I have online Michael Isaacs. Welcome, Michael, to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So, yeah, and you're a member, and this series has been about a different approach to psychology and how people are taking in a new awareness and changing the old psychological model. So what's your approach to combining psychology and psychotherapy? I mean, spirituality and psychotherapy.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we have to define spirituality.
Yes.
And so I have a very broad definition of spirituality, which is any aspect which promotes certain attributes of, for example, love, compassion, forgiveness, honesty, joy, inner peace, beauty, gratitude. So that's a pretty broad approach that I have. So, I'm a therapist. I'm aware of all of those verities, and I consider them, you know, quote, spiritual. It depends also on what kind of psychology and psychotherapist you are.
So I'm just curious. I mean, those are great qualities of just being a human being, the upside of the human experience. But where does the, let's call a spiritual part of that definition fit in? I mean, how does it become, like,
right.
What my understanding is spiritual, it transcends the human in a way.
Right. Yes, I agree with that. It's more psychology is tends to go to the emotions and the specific problems and helping to deal with them. And spirituality adds to that, includes that part, which is what is the meaning of life? You know, it's an existential aspect to it. With me, I introduce spirituality. First of all, I look to my own consciousness, you know, whatever I have learned, whatever steps that I've taken and gained in a higher understanding and transcendence, and I hope to share that in a way in addition to the psychotherapy approach. And one of the ways I do it is to try to be peaceful myself and more peaceful. Sometimes I meditate before the session, and sometimes I meditate after the session. That just happens to be, you know, what I do, because I like to make a connection in that way. And with the people that I see, I like to highlight with them and my definition of concept of spirituality when they're into those things, when they're experiencing a lot of grief, but also they also may talk about something that they did that involved love or compassion or helping the homeless person, and I just bring that out, you know. And a lot of the people that I see like to be spiritual and wondering how to do it, and I just kind of label it for them and say, you know, that's my idea of a spiritual thing. It just goes, you know, beyond and deeper, transcendently.
So it sounds like you're In your sessions with people, you're more focused on the positive side. You don't go so much into what people can get caught up in as their problems and their dramas.
Not necessarily, because when people express feelings of sadness or grief or anger, you know, that's one of the things that we do as therapists, particularly psychoanalytic therapists, is that we want them to talk about, you know, so-called negative feelings, but they're not really negative, and I try to encourage them, and I label that sometimes, because people are ashamed to talk or resistant to talk about those things, and I say to them sometimes, you know, that's an aspect of spirituality. Right. Of course, it has to be the right person and appropriate that I could do this. But I say, that's the truth, you know? Those feelings that you have are divine, so to speak. And so we don't want to run away from them. We want them to evolve. We want to talk about them. We want you to get to them and just know that it has a spiritual aspect to it.
Right. No, I appreciate that, and we need more people like you out there. But I'm curious, and I do ask these kind of questions of other guests from ASP, is, you know, our background generally in this country hasn't been that. What was, like, the point of your own awakening or awareness of these other levels, especially coming from probably a traditional psychological background?
Well, you know, I've had a long encounter, a long experience in spirituality, so it kind of comes out in how I am. I mean, I don't know how much you want me to go into my history.
Well, I'd love you to go into your history a little bit. Like, was there a moment, if you want to share some of your personal, if you care to, your
sure.
personal experiences, because I think that helps people gain an awareness of who you are and also what's possible for them.
Yeah. Well, it goes way back in Judaism, I heard some singing at the High Holidays, and I just felt something go down my spine. You know, I just felt that there was some presence there, or something that was a higher level. And then after the next reawakening was in yoga, and that's where I learned about getting quiet, going inward, enjoying peace of mind. And then the philosophy interested me, because I remember someone telling me, one of the teachers, that we are not our bodies and we are not our mind. We're something else. I kind of really was dumbfounded about that. Really? I'm not my body. I'm not my mind. I got a little bit into modern Christianity and a little bit of Buddhism too, and you know, I just realized that there's something transcendent and some addition to my life, you know. And in Christianity, and I never became Christian, but something was said that the kingdom of God is within you. That I've been trying to figure out my whole life, in addition to what the yogis said about, if you're not your body and you're not your mind, what are you? So it's a matter of identity. I think that, you know, if you're into these areas, that we're trying to figure out, you know, who we really are, what we really are. I was also, I had a meditation teacher, a guru, for many years, and I was meditating on a mantra which he gave me. But after about 16 years, I read something by a man named Joel Goldsmith, who is a modern mystic, and he got me into silence as a meditation, you know, as something to go into the silence. And that changed my whole meditation, because then I learned to listen more and go into the silence. Perhaps I needed the meditation on the mantra for 16 years to kind of give me some measure of control, of concentration. And that really changed things for me, because then I kind of opened up to listening. And I found out that in most of the mystical religions, the religions that had mysticism in it, which is the branch of certain religions where you go more into self-examination and realization, you know, rather than ritual. That changed everything for me, and that's why I said originally that before the sessions, I go into the quiet, and after the sessions, I go into the quiet. But let me tell you, it's a little harder after the sessions because you're so stimulated. So that's kind of been my path, and I've just noticed that I appreciate in other religions and other spirituality the idea of going into the quiet.
But you seem pretty peaceful. But I think what you said before that stimulated thoughts for me is that when you say you're not your mind, in a way, isn't that sort of what psychotherapy, psychology is dealing with? I mean, if you're working with people, I mean, that's sort of the key point. Of course, if we're spiritual beings, we know we're not our minds, but the key element of the psychological paradigm is that that's all we are, is our minds. And so how do you translate that to someone who comes in with all their situations and problems, thinking that they have problems? Because if you're not your mind, then in a sense you don't have any problems, because there just is. So I'm curious about that approach.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I try to plant some seeds in them, you know, when appropriate, you know, as to what some of the, not just religious meditating people, but what other people like artists and mm-hmm. poets and writers, you know, they are listening to another tune in their work. And so a lot of people that come and have work problems, I like to tell the story of Thomas Edison, you know, that he was a scientist, and he slept about 4 hours a night, and he would be in a room, and some of his fellow scientists went into the room, and they saw him with his hand by his ears, and what he was doing was listening. What was he listening to? He was listening to something that wasn't the mind. Now, I don't expect that most of the people that I see that will kind of get this thing, but I kind of throw it out there when appropriate. Now, another favorite thing that I do is Ramakrishna was an Indian saint, and he was asked when people study to be monks and so forth, you know, they work so hard and nothing really happens. And he gives the metaphor of a sailboat, and he says, you know, what you're trying to do and to get enlightened or get further up is to just do the work and wait for the time that the wind comes and moves the sails. So I know that's comforting to a lot of people who are discouraged, you know, in their lives, you know, and their patients. When are they going to get better? Are they ever going to get better? And sometimes I'll bring that metaphor up and say that just do the work, you know, come to therapy, say what you need to say, try to feel safe, and just do the work, and don't look so fast, for the solutions. So that's just another way of introducing something of a higher nature. And there are poets like Rumi and other luminaries, that have things to say that really help with the psychological matters, that help the patient, help to observe their thoughts and feelings, to have an observing ego, and just try to listen.
So would you say to someone who comes in with a lot of problems, in a sense that they're not the problems, but they're the observer? I mean, how can people really get that if they're sort of coming from a mainstream and they've never heard those concepts before?
Mm-hmm.
How would you start to? I mean, because people think they're their story, and if they're not their story, then they feel like they're nothing. But of course, that's part of that materialistic, ego-based reality we live in.
Yeah. Well, the best thing, the way I do approach that is to listen and encourage them to speak, and I think that a lot of people have just left to their own devices, so to speak, and just are allowed to talk and encourage to talk and to amplify and me to help them amplify whatever they're talking and feeling and encourage them to speak up. Then things come in, and I know that when I was in therapy and I was amazed that was at what was at my preconscious level, it was kind of on my mind. And it kind of flowed out once people were listening to me, and therefore you're hearing things yourself. No one's telling you, to think in a different way. You're telling yourself, and that was the kind of patience that really moved, And I don't know. Some people do, some patients don't. I'm not sure why it works, but. But at least if you encourage them to observe their own thoughts and feelings and be welcome to do that, because most of us, when we're young, we're not encouraged to speak up.
Mm.
So that's the best answer that I can give. And if a person stays long enough and feels safe, they'll do the work, and they'll start making the observations. And sometimes dreams help, if a person likes to and can remember their dreams, then that'll be something that I like to do that with certain people, and it can be very successful to help them to see and observe.
Mm. So is this an approach you take with everyone, or is it just sort of like you
No.
tune in? No.
I remember... Two of the best words are "it depends."
Right.
it right. depends. In every situation.
How do you find out if someone is? Oh, I mean, is there like a key question you ask to see if someone, or you just kind of tune in and see what they say and where they're coming from, or is there?
More like the latter. I'm not quick. That clear on your question?
No, I'm saying you're saying it depends on who they are whether you take this approach, but how do you know if someone's open to these spiritual ideals or not? That's what do you just kind of feel them out and see what their level of awareness is about, or does that make sense? I'm just wondering.
I think that it's kind of intuitive, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of a person open. But I've had people that, kind of agnostics and atheists, mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. that, I don't press them, but to go into things that they're not ready for. But if you use my definition, my paradigm, I can... get into some of the essence of the spirituality. Like forgiveness, you know, that there's some people I've worked with that made tremendous advances, but they didn't end up forgiving fathers and mothers, you know, and it made me kind of frustrated, you know, because I felt that forgiveness is seen properly and discussed properly. People show the benefit to themselves about forgiveness, it can work, and it does work with some, but I've had this a couple of times that I just couldn't bring the subject up, and the therapy stopped after many, many years. So, you know, you have to know who you're dealing with. It's very important for this person not to forgive. You know, he just had such a bad experience, and his whole life's been motivated in many good ways, you know, by his breaking off completely with the father, and sometimes the mother in other situations.
But
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. I mean, I just I understand where you're coming from. Like, you're tuning in, and it's interesting what you say about forgiveness, because in a sense, that idea of forgiveness is it transcends the emotional, psychological values, and has like a resonance on has a spiritual implication to it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so, I mean, people may think they're doing this emotional, psychological thing, and really they are evolving their soul presence, in a sense. That's what, with forgiveness. I mean, I don't know if everyone would understand it, but I understand what you're saying about it being a spiritual, aspect to the work.
Yes. And, you know, I encourage certain people to get some addition to the psychotherapy, you know, if they have an interest in body-mind techniques, in yoga, and, you know, they're interested in, if I feel that they're yearning for some group or some community, you know, then you could try different things. You know, there's Buddhism. Buddhism is very good with psychology of all of the religions or spiritual approaches. Someone, I don't know, you know, of a Prima Chodron. She's a Buddhist. And she's real good at having people pause, you know, and when they are moved by anger and they can't control, and a lot of relationships have that problem, you know. Probably all people have problems to a certain degree in controlling themselves and just stopping, and she's real good at that, you know, and very convincing of just cooling it. And Marshall Rosenberg.
I love Marshall Rosenberg. Nonviolent
communication. I mean, yes. I just read him fairly recently, and he doesn't come off being spiritual, but you could feel it, you know. And at the end, there's a beautiful poem that he wrote to his mother, which was really spiritual. So, you know, he was working from a spiritual base. He's a good example of how someone who really is spiritual down deep can appear not spiritual, but his idea of communication, of avoiding blame and criticism and condemnation, that's really about love, you know, how to do things lovingly, how to express themselves lovingly. So, to me,
I'm glad you like him. I've met him. I've interviewed. He's a beautiful guy. He's really he's a great person. Really,
yeah, he's brought his work higher than just the personal. You know, he works in labor and school systems and criminals, and so it works. You know.
Yeah. No. He's great, and he's created a language for addressing this. the bridging of these emotional situations into new ways of dealing with the psychological. I mean, it seems like from what you're saying and many other people I've been talking to, there has to be this movement in psychology for something more. And I think that's why ASP is so important at this time, because we're trying to bring an awareness of this other something to psychology, which needs it, which could be the leader in the field of a spiritual movement. I mean, how do you see the big picture of spirituality and psychology working?
Well, one of the reasons that I'm a member of the ASP is because I think I do see it's much different now than 20 years ago. I think people are much more open to the whole idea of it. I wanted to just say something. I don't know where this fits in. Is that the person that I've studied for 25 years is Joel Goldsmith, and he talks about going into a prison and talking to the prisoners, and the different clergymen that went in didn't have much success. But when he went there, he was able to excite or accept the people just who they were, you know, and he was looking at them in a different way than other people were looking at them, as they were sinful and they did this and they did that, you know. But he was of such a high dimension that when he was looking at them, he was looking at who they really were, you know, getting back to the subject of identity. He had reached that stage that he could just look at them and like love them, you know, and accept them, and just whatever happened to them, they did because of their ignorance, you know, and because they just didn't know any better, you know, they didn't know that they were climbing up the wrong tree, and they flooded in with him. Every time he went there, they just couldn't get more people there, you know. So anyway, I mean, that's a little deeper thing that
about that. So
talking
is he still
about now, and that's why I respect him and do his readings and listen to his tapes. Also, Thomas Hora, you know about Thomas Hora?
Oh yeah, I did do an interview with the Karyevskys, Diana. Yes,
he influenced me too because of certain things that he said. That he was a psychiatrist, as you know, and he just became somewhat illumined, and he kind of saw his therapy in a different way, and he really mostly got into the spiritual. And one of the things he said was that all problems are psychological and all solutions are spiritual. And theoretically, I agree with him, but the problem
Can you just explain that a little bit, what that actually means? Can you talk about how you relate to that statement?
Yeah, because I think that if you are an illumined soul or an advanced soul, then all the problems that people come in with psychology, if they were developed spiritually and they had that spiritual knowledge, that spiritual discernment, that's all that they would need. And I believe that. But one of the reasons that I became a therapist was I felt that people had such ego problems, especially in this country, you know, where the families had broken up and the divorce and individualization, that really needed to get that straight before they could approach the spirituality. So my mission as a therapist always has been that I would like to help people, you know, maybe not even in this lifetime, but to kind of advance and clear things up, you know, and get the root of the problems, that ego problems and phobias and addictions, you know, all the things that come, and to kind of be able to be at the stage that they and I include myself too, you know, I mean, reach a state, you know, where spirituality would be all you needed. When I went to Psychoanalytic Institute, I had both a guru and my therapist. And the therapist knew that I went to the guru, and he said, "What are you going to him for? You don't need him."
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the guru said to me, "What do you need a psychologist for? What do you?"
That's
you know,
funny.
You know? And so that was kind of made it hard for me to get through the institute, you know, because I had other things
that I wanted
to say, and I had to shut my mouth. So it's just a matter of perspective. But I do think that the spirituality, that Hora was right. But I think that it's not easy to follow him. You know, he had a certain way. And by the way, he also knew about Joel Goldsmith and got some. They were kind of companions in a lot of ways because they both had reached a certain state of understanding.
What I think that also means is, what did he say? All problems are psychological, all solutions are spiritual. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Well, you know, there's that Sufi saying, what is sadness to the soul is laughter to the spirit. Sort of meaning, like on one level, we create these problems to learn from them, to learn about what it is to be human.
Yes.
And of course, it's created from a higher level of consciousness.
Yes, exactly.
But you have to have that. You have to have an experience of the higher levels to understand that we are these higher levels. And I think that's the big change that's happening right now in the culture. Seems like it's becoming more popular because people are having these higher experiences. Do you find that to be true?
Higher experiences. What do you mean?
I mean, they seem to have an awareness that they're not their mind. Maybe that's the best way to say it. Maybe
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
More and more people seem to be. I mean, there's more literature out there. You know, you read Eckhart Tolle. He says you're not living life. Life is living you. You know, so those ideas are out there, and it seems like there's just, and at least what my program's about is like this wave that seems to be happening that more people are having this awakened awareness. Maybe that's a way. So, so the psychology that you're doing and other people in ASP it's important that it's happening to talk to a population that is looking for the higher answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's needed.
Yes. A lot of the seers and a lot of the so-called enlightened people are optimistic. You know, like what you're being optimistic that things are changing and evolved.
Well, it's not just optimism. It's also seeing that there's a population, a movement where it is changing. There, people are approaching their problems, their life, their situations in a different way. At least some people are that.
Yes. I think that there's an advancement of society. Definitely.
And it's exciting,
and
isn't it?
Yeah, I think that, yes, it is. And the wise people are saying that. You know, they're feeling the undercurrent of things going forward. And I think they are. But, you know, like everything else, is you go forward and then the society goes backward. You know, people who don't like the going ahead. But it's exciting, really. I think that the seers have caught that optimism and helped. And I think that having shows like radio programs like yours and more books out and more openings to the spirituality, I think I can feel it. Can't you?
Yeah, well, I can feel it. We can feel it. But, I mean, do other people who... I guess there are people probably who don't feel it. They still go out and drink beer and watch the football game. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, there seems to be more people feeling it for sure. And there's also a whole other population that has no idea. But you know, maybe someone said it's like boiling water. There's a, you know, first you get a bubble here and then a bubble there, and you know, eventually the whole thing is boiling, but it's a process. So so if you had to like leave you know, people with an idea of your approach or what you would like to say as far as spirituality and psychotherapy, what would you like to just leave people with as far as that awareness?
I think that I try to encourage people, you know, that I see to be positive about what goes on in the world. I mean, you can, you know, if you really look at it, you can think about all the spirituality that's really helped evolve the country. I mean, you know, there's slavery, you know, was here, and that's not here. There was hatred against gays and lesbians, and, you know, that's not here. There was slavery. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can, if you look at it, you can just see that things are marching forward. It's not easy to feel that because, it's particularly if you're in depression yourself and you're not thinking about it. But I think that we are moving forward, and if these people that, you know, the literature that's out, the people that Sheldon, what's her name? And
Pema Sheldon, yes.
And Joel Goldsmith and...
And Ram Dass, of course, a leader.
Ram Dass, and there are loads of people that are out, and they are able to communicate easier to the world because of technology, you know, the internet and recordings. And so I do think that there's a definite surge. It's good to be part of it.
Well, we are part of it. It is great. It's part of a movement. It's in a way, it's a revolution, or I think a renaissance. It's you know, who we always have been, but it's also a way we work on ourselves. You know, I mean, it seems like you're very peaceful and, you know, working on yourself with this process of awakening your own spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yes, there are plenty of people around to join with, and that's exciting. And Marshall Rosenberg of nonviolent communication. Many people.
Yeah. It's a movement. It is a movement. So. Thank you for spending some time talking about your approach and your, ideas, because I think, you know, people need to come out and talk about it more, which will stimulate other people's awakening, you know?
Yes, yes.
I mean, maybe someone's never heard the idea that they're not their thoughts or their mind, and I'm sure a lot of people haven't heard that.
Oh my God! I heard that 25 years ago, and it blew me when I heard that. What? I'm not my body. I'm not my mind. What am I? You know, and I'm spending the rest of my life trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and you have to be ready to hear it, so it does blow your mind. A lot of people will hear that and say, what are you talking about? You know, and other people say, if I'm not that, then maybe I'm something else. So I think it does blow people's mind when they're ready to hear that idea. that they're not their minds, or, well, it's easy to understand that they're not their bodies, but to say that you're not your mind or your thoughts, that's...
I'm still working on it. But I'm not my body, I'm not my mind, or who am I? And there's lots of other people around.
But at least you're open. You have the sense that there might be truth to that idea that that you're not your mind and your body. There might be something to. There might be a reality to that. And in that possibility, a door opens to something higher beyond. You know, you're not your. I think the Buddhists say thoughts without a thinker. I mean, you're not your thoughts. You're the observer. I mean, once you get into meditation, I think you're right. Meditation is a big key component. If you see that as the observer in the meditation, that you're watching your thoughts, that you're not your thoughts, you're the watcher.
Yes.
I think you're right. I think meditation is one of the ways to awaken a kind of a spiritual approach to our own psychology.
Yes. Well, Vivekananda, I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Vivekananda, I think it was like an airplane, and he said that there are different ways to get to towards more enlightened thinking and more love. And one was meditation. There's four of them. I don't know if I'm going to get to all the four. One was meditation, and one was through the intellect, coming to a realization of who we really, really are. And then there's devotion, people who are more into the active devotional, chanting and singing and all that. And there's Raja Yoga, which is the mind, thinking about it. I don't know if I missed one, but there are different paths, different people of different ways of moving into spirituality.
I think, we probably think too much in the West, and I think the not thinking approach, like the watching approach, is something that probably shakes a lot of people up. And I think, that's what's exciting, to that. So there is a movement. It's definitely a movement. And how can people find you? Do you have a website?
I have a lot of articles that I've written over the years, actually the Association for Spirituality and Psychology,
psychotherapy,
has been a wonderful vehicle for me, because I've written about 6 or 7, 8 articles, so it's been a really, really good forum for me, and I appreciate that very much.
What has the articles been about? What have you written about?
Well, the last one, or the most recent one, which is coming out in the winter issue, is on death fears and anxiety. It's about the fear of death and how that has kind of a subject which people don't like to talk about, death and their fears of death, but it's just an analysis of that. And the one before that with your journal was on loneliness. And spirituality. So anyway, I'm very grateful, for the organization for allowing me to write and to read some of the articles. And I think it's a unique organization.
We're looking for more members and more places to direct this awareness. So
Yes.
I think the current website is called asphealing.org. And, you know, the organization is going through a bit of a transition and finding a new way to reach out to people, you know. And how do we reach a bigger audience and how do we include more members? Yeah, before, you know, the internet seemed like it was a local organization. Now it's with this non-local reality, we could be anywhere. So that's part of it. So, I mean, you're in California.
Yes.
So what is the, how can people, I mean, do you have a website of your own? And,
yes, I do. I have many, many articles written, and one of them was in 1997, which was just called Spirituality and Psychotherapy, and that was published in England. And actually, I read that article before for tonight. Just to see what I said, to be more prepared.
I put some of that on my? Could I put that on my? I have a New Realities website. Could I use that? I mean, I'll give you credit.
That was a 1997 article on psychotherapy and spirituality, and I really delve into it. And another one that I feel particularly good about was an article on meditation.
Where are those articles?
They're all on my website.
Which is what?
MichaelIsaacs.net.
Isaacs,
I-S-A-A-C-S.
Yeah. MichaelIsaacs.net.
Yeah. And those two articles, I feel, make a good contribution to psychology and spirituality.
Right. Well, good. No, I'm glad. Are you writing new stuff too? Are you writing?
I'm always writing because my license here in California is as a research psychoanalyst. And that means that at least one third of my time is to be in writing or, about spiritual. My subject was psychotherapy and spirituality. You know, and that's how I got my license here as a research psychoanalyst. So I do a lot of writing, because that's my license here, and that's what I like to do. And
do you have a book out? Do you have a book about?
No, I don't. But a number of people have read all my articles that are on my website and said, you know, you ought to put this in a book. I'm more encouraging other people to write books, which I have, than myself.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
But it's great because, I mean, it's just, you know, anyway, it's just a way, another form of communication.
Yeah, I'm a good friend of Sam Menahan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I actually, you know, worked in his office for a while.
Oh, in New York?
In Fort Lee, New Jersey. Before I moved to California. I'm from New Jersey.
How do you like California?
Are we still on the radio?
Yeah, we're still on the radio. Okay, we'll talk about that another time.
No, that's okay. I love you.
No. We can keep it.
California is good. It's good.
Yeah.
Any place is good if you move. And.
Yeah. Well, I think California is a place where people began to open up to spirituality because of the weather, because of the ease and lifestyle. And I think that wave from California has now kind of come across the country and in a way around the world. Of course, there's the you know, old time spirituality, which has been around forever in all the religions, but the modern sense, I think you could almost pinpoint it to Esalen and the and that kind of gestalt revolution that happened in the hot tubs in Esalen, California. That's what some people say. It's like the beginning of the modern spiritual movement.
Yeah, it's not just in psychology and psychotherapy. It's a lot of areas. California has been a beacon, you know, starting in so many areas, you know, of new thinking. There's a whole kind of liberation here.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that when I was living in New Jersey for many years. We've been out here 11 years. But I noticed that in New Jersey, you know, and I observed California, how, you know, like different matters were first brought up in California.
Yeah.
And I said, I feel it now, you know, being here. You know, it's exciting. It's an exciting place.
Do you feel like there's more of an openness out there than there was on the East Coast in a way to these ideas?
Well, I mean, like New York City is certainly, you know, that's where your organization is, my organization. So certainly there's a lot. It's just that it's that here, it just seems to be more an initiator of a lot of things.
You know,
it flows outward.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. New York has everything, but I do think the general population might be more aware of just things like yoga and health food and all that might be. But it's changing. I think now you'd be surprised about the awareness in New York that seems to be happening.
Yeah.
So
well,
anyway,
you're feeling that. Okay. Good.
I am feeling that. Well, it's just also the field I'm in. I look for that, so it's what I see. You know, I'm not necessarily tuned into, you know, the football game or something like that. But, Michael, thank you for being a guest on this program.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and I appreciate you know, your work and that you're holding that awareness for people that are seeing you, that there is more, and I think that is, it's contributing to an awakening in general. So, thanks. So we'll be in touch again. So, Michael Isaacs and your website, michaelisaacs.net.
Yes, and you were going to tell. Is it over now? Or?
Wait, I'll just say goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay.
And so this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website, newrealities.com, and I welcome comments and feedback. Thanks for listening tonight, and good night.